Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, the early version of the Talk Geek with the Tyler Brook podcast, hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend out there in Pearl River, New York, Tyler Brook. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it about 3,000 miles away, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss this show and catch it on an archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me, laying the red carpet down, putting the podium in its place, handing off the mic, the threes. Tyler, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing in a regular guest again.
Thanks, Mark. Hello and welcome. We got another great show, another great guest. If you're not familiar with him, then shame on all of you because he's been a recurring guest and an absolute good friend. He's been my theme song orchestrator for my archive show, a regular guest for both of my shows, and a sports enthusiast for his show. Give it up for Mr. C. How are you doing today, bud?
Good, man. How's it going?
It's going good, going good. Before we go any further, tell the audience a bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and where people can find you.
Mr. C, oh, that's me. Quickly, I do my sports podcast on Sports Dudes. I'm also on TikTok. I do Cash NYC. I'm also an artist, dropping a new single this Friday. Check it out. So, I'm all around. You catch me on James Schlesen on Facebook, The Dark Knight 029 on Instagram, and wherever you get your streaming platforms and TikToks, I'm all there.
Terrific, terrific. Our episode today is going to be Attack the Family Guy Clone. Mr. C, how long have you been saying you've been a fan of the original Family Guy? And I say original because it did have a moment where it was off the air for a while. And nowadays, it just feels like Seth MacFarlane's just pushing his own political agenda.
Yeah, I mean, from season one to maybe, say, five, I was a big fan. But lately, MacFarlane likes to push his own liberal agenda. Don't want to get political, but he's pushing his own agenda. Not a fan of it. And the quality of show has drastically decreased to my liking, but the one thing I did like was when he did the Attack of the Clone Wars Family Guy spoof. I did like that.
Yes, that was good back when it actually mattered. But let's look at the basis of Family Guy as a whole, shall we?
Yes, do it.
All politics aside, the Griffins consist of the fat idiot husband being Peter, the attractive redhead wife being Lois, there are three kids and a talking dog. Now, I think this kind of follows the trope that we've been seeing within a plethora of other shows.
It does.
Hell,
it does.
To some degree, whether it's not just... when it comes to the sitcom husbands, they follow, in this usual situation, they're either heavier set, like, say, or heavier than their spouse, like, say, Hank from King of the Hill or Bob from Bob's Burgers. They're idiotic, like, Sinclair from The Dinosaurs, if you remember that TV show. Or they're just, get into shenanigans, like, Stan from American Dad. Or just straight up ugly, if we got the whole Quasimodo effect. And they have, more times than not, got no business being with the spouse they're with. Gotta tell you, kind of put unrealistic expectations on the rest of us.
Indeed.
Now, would you say it's really more of a genre or more of a trope?
I think it's followed the usual, like, as far as comedy, cartoon sitcoms, it follows the standard trope. It's idiot father, overly obsessive stay-at-home, sometimes stay-at-home wife, one kid smart, the other kid is average, and the other kid is just like a dork and overlooked or dumb that resembles kind of like the dad as well. So I kind of think they just follow like a usual trope. What makes Family, what's supposed to make Family Guy like stand out is like it's humor, the fact that it's able to make fun of itself, to make the fact that it can parody off of other cultural events and whatnot. That's what's supposed to set Family Guy different from the others, and also makes
it
more of a unique sitcom. Yeah, well, what it used to be. So it's a trope, but it's also supposed to be parodying off of like what's popular, like what's the current, like who's the hottest Hollywood star, what scandal did like someone get into, or anything like the biggest like stories. It's supposed to make like a spoof off of it, you know. That's what it's supposed to do. What it's
in
used
theory,
to
yes. We actually got a few comments right now. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Family Guy is the best, right up there with Beavis and Butthead. At least it used to be. Beavis and Butthead is still going and still keeps the same formula. Family Guy, it's just not really consistent. Harold from San Jose, California. How about Gomer Pyle, All in the Family, and Married with Children? Love the show. Denise from San Francisco. Hi, boys. Great show as always. Dalen from Chelmsford, Massachusetts. Did you hear McDonald's is laying off? How the hell does that happen? That sounds like the bank closed at BS. Dalen, not really sure how that's relevant to this conversation, but thanks for tuning in. Sheila from Denver, Colorado says Family Guy is the best. Now, this is just my opinion there, Mr. C. I've always felt like the either fat, ugly, or idiotic husband is not only a trope as like the main focus of the protagonist, but also side characters as well. Is this something you've noticed?
Repeat that again.
Well, the whole trope of the unrealistic husband, in the sense whether they be overweight or ugly or even idiotic, and these attractive wives, that's a trope not even just for the protagonists in question, but from the supporting cast as well. Do you agree with this?
In a way, yeah, I kind of agree, because if you think about it, like, why would an attractive, like, wife would go after the, not even so much the weight, just the fact that he's an idiot. Like, if you think about it, like, look at the sisters. Like, Homer is a straight-up, and Marge is a stay-at-home wife. Why would Marge go for someone who's an idiot, who works at a nuclear plant, who's dumb? Like, Peter works at a brewery, and he's dumb. And I feel like I agree, but I also feel like maybe it's kind of sense that it kind of sends like a weird message that if you're fat, dumb, and stupid, you can get a bimbo wife.
Well, I mean, to be fair, depending on which continuity, he is a genius. There was an episode why Lisa started explaining she's starting to get stupid because she takes after the Simpsons gene just to find out that all the men were the dumb ones, but the females end up becoming smarter. Then there's another episode that explains that Homer has a crayon in his brain and he's actually a genius.
That explains Peter.
Peter is quote unquote just retarded. Not my words. I'm quoting them. We're getting a few more comments. Jerry from Mesa, Arizona. They need to do another Duck Dynasty cartoon. Any thoughts? Do they, though? I mean, this kind of goes the whole reboot situation, just kind of gets overdone. I would say wait at least a decade or two before we start introducing another cartoon, another reboot thereof. Gail from Clearwater, California. Marge keeps the family intact. Bart is all over the place. I remember growing up, Peabody, do you boys recall the one? Do you mean Peabody and Sherman? Yes, I do. And that was definitely a way callback show. And back what I was saying about the whole side characters thing, this is definitely something I've noticed for the cast that's not necessarily the main characters. Like, Mr., do you remember the show Darkwing Duck?
Yes, I remember Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, do you remember his neighbors?
I do not know.
They were called the Waddlefoots. You got the attractive wife, Mrs. Waddlefoot, and the fat husband, like morbidly obese husband, Mr. Waddlefoot, or Herb Waddlefoot, as his name is. Which kind of goes into the already existing trope.
It does.
I think at some point, I think we should go back to the granddaddy of where this trope began. Back when black and white TV started to become a thing, the Honeymooners. This, of course, being with Ralph Crampton and his wife Alice Crampton. Now, where the show highlights the whole Family Guy clone, and this whole thing really became a trope because of Family Guy. But there are so many shows that developed this formula. Average or not attractive-looking husband, and subsequently, the more attractive wife. We got the Honeymooners, as we previously mentioned. We have All in the Family, which is debatable, because to be fair, Ida was kind of a ditz, and I'm being polite with that word. We got the Flintstones, obviously. We got the Jetsons, and we even got that Muppet show, Dinosaurs. All following this formulaic formula. But that's not to say this formula only limits to this country alone. If you check out on other countries, they also follow this formula. Mr. G, how familiar are you with Canadian television?
Ooh, not very well, but I am. But I've heard some here and there. I've heard like American shows, but that are done in Canada where they've added more, like Total Drama Island. I've heard.
So
they
wouldn't be American shows, would they?
Yeah, but they're talking about based off of Canada, would Degrassi count? Because technically, it was made in Canada.
So based on that logic, Yu Yu Hakusho is an American show because it aired on Cartoon Network.
Hey, I'm just saying that there are shows that have been filmed in Canada. Now, Canadian original shows, no, I do not. But I know shows that took place in Canada that have, you know, that have that shows a lot more than shows in America. If that answers your question.
Well, regardless of that fact, this actually kind of goes into what I'm saying. There is a Canadian show that lasted for about 3 seasons. It's called Forget About It. Obviously, it's more of an Italian-esque thing. It involves an Italian-style family. You got the fat dad. You got the attractive mom. You got the slutty daughter, the liberal son, and the Stewie-esque child. And you got the alcoholic, not dog, but uncle, and all following the Family Guy formula. So it's a trope that not only follows in the States, but I think it's also started broadening off in other countries as well. And here's what I've noticed. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times when shows do follow this formula, the husband is either abusive or neglectful to some degree?
I have noticed. Why is that?
I think it's because that knowing that they can achieve the unachievable, they can probably get away with anything.
Now, I'm gonna flip this and ask you, what if they did a show, but the wife was a drunk and or a bimbo and the husband was smart? And I'm sure there have been plenty of examples of that. Can you name some, and how would you perceive it in it? Like, they did a cartoon where the wife was just a drunk ditz bimbo, and the husband was, you know, a normal husband doing normal husband things. And it's the wife that gets the shenanigans.
That's a very good question, and one I've often surmised why we don't do it the other way around. Nowadays, we're in all for an equality state, which I'm for. But we've never seen anything even remotely similar. Hell, we can just get Melissa McCarthy as the idiotic fat wife, and some Hemsworth being the spouse. I mean, is that the best casting? Probably not. But is it similar to what we've had, just gender reversed? Yes.
I can already hear, like, I can already
hear. Me. Hold on, that is the drum roll. We got our drum roll, and Quagmire's voice was actually based off which fast-talking radio jockey? Once again, Quagmire's voice was based off of which fast-talking radio jockey? But this is something we've definitely noticed, that a lot of the times when these husbands exist, they do all these unachievable things or all these idiotic sitcoms. Now, viewer-wise, okay, yeah, it's funny. Is it not?
I mean, yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, as the viewer.
And,
but if you were with Marge, like saying, if you're Marge and your son's working in a burlesque house, or say, what you call it, if you're Lois Griffin and Peter frickin' turns the basement into a bar, do you really want to deal with that kind of crap?
I mean, obviously not. It's kind of like the similar as if, like, say, you know, like, you're a regular guy and your wife is doing all these things and whatnot. And, you know, like, I feel like if you're in that shoes, you wouldn't find it funny. But I think what happens is that when you're the viewer, like, comedy is subjective. And I think you find it funny because, hey, well, it's not happening to me. So, like, you know, other people's misery is people's misery sometimes leads to other people's enjoyment. So I kind of, like,
you know,
that's why we kind of laugh
word
at people.
For
things.
That? Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Happiness is the misfortune of others.
Well, isn't that where comedy kind of derived in? Like, laughing at the misfortune of others or so than yourself? That's kind
yes,
of what it is.
Yes, and surprise, surprise, that word originates from Germany.
Well, you know, Germans really do have kind of, like, sick, twisted minds, but it's also kind of true, though. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, a lot of us do.
Well, put it this way. If it was happening to you, you wouldn't find it funny. Or if it's happening to someone that you know...
Well, I think this can be said for anybody.
Yeah.
But I think
or for someone
now
that you
is
know.
A good time. For us to acknowledge some of the healthier couples that still follow this trope and kind of ask us why they're still around. King of the Hill, for example, Hank is without a doubt overweight, but to be fair, he lives in Texas. So I'm honestly not that surprised that he is. But he is the glue that keeps not only his friends together, but his family together as well.
True.
And on top of that, he really does care for his wife and family. I honestly don't know why, for Peggy, because she's a bit of a narcissist. So there's a very good chance she wouldn't be in the, she wouldn't be in the picture altogether. But that's not really for me to say. So, who can? As for the, as another great homage... That follows this trope. How familiar are you with Bob's Burgers?
I watch Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, you would definitely say Bob is another healthier couple. Or Bob is a
yes.
more... Yeah, I mean, Bob has his moments at times. He absolutely does. There's no denying in that. But more times than not, his kids and Linda... are the ones responsible for the chaos that he just deals with. But honestly, what
Go ahead.
Really appreciate that is the realism in their living situation.
Oh, yeah.
Like
it's very, very realistic.
Right, let's look at, at some of these couples, okay? Homer is a nuclear physician. I honestly don't know how he has the job, but I guess that's part of the comedy spiel that goes with it. On top of that, he lives in, has it ever been stated what state they live in?
The Simpsons?
Yeah.
It's a, they haven't stated, but due to where the creator is from, you can safe to say that it's kind of like in Oregon. Because the creator is from Oregon. They didn't, because there's so many Springfields all over the world, but because the creator, Matt Groening, is from the Northwest, from Oregon in particular, you can kind of safe to say that it takes place in Oregon.
Okay, yeah, let's just say it's Oregon, just for the sake of argument. He's a nuclear physician from Oregon. He got the whole burning tire thing, which, again, I think pretty sure stemmed from Oregon. They even had a burning tar. They even had a tar pit in one of the episodes. It was a walking distance, which is found in California. So Oregon may be a very safe bet to say. But still,
yes.
How can he be the only breadwinner, and with all the shenanigans they get into, still afford that house?
Well, maybe Homer maybe it goes into kind of like cartoon logic, because realistically, look at all the get rich dumb schemes and all the shenanigans that Homer gets himself into, and that costs money. It's not cheap, and yet he's only the breadwinner because the mom's a stay at home house, a stay at home wife with Maggie, and then the two kids are in school, and Homer spends half his money on beer and other stupid stuff, and yet somehow they have enough money to hold a roof over their head and go on
exactly
vacation.
At least with the Belcher family, it's a little more realistic, and they're actually from New Jersey.
I mean, look at Family Guy.
You can tell us that because they got the pier walk right there.
I mean, look at Peter. He works at a brewery in Rhode Island.
Peter's had a string of weird jobs. And I'm not talking about those weird cutaway jobs. Like, the three jobs he's had that were consistent to the canonical, not flashback, he was a toy maker, then he was a fisherman, then he worked at the brewery from pretty much a good portion of the season.
Yeah, so he's had three different jobs, and yet it's one. And look at what he gets into.
Yeah, and it's actually been confirmed Moses' dad pays for the mortgage of the house.
I mean, look what Peter does, and look what Peter spends, and look at all the damages he does, and yet it's one salary. Like, that's not realistic. You think that with all the things that Peter does, and he's the only breadwinner in the house, you think that that's, like, sufficient? Come on now.
And on top of that, you can honestly tell that whatever connection they had isn't real and genuine like the other ones that have existed, or at least the ones that they used to have.
Oh, yeah.
But back to what I'm saying about couple goals. How familiar are you with non-shonen anime?
You have to brush up my memory. What would
Kill
a
Kill
non-shonen?
No. Anything that doesn't appear in Shonen Jump, your non-anime power-ups, your whole token pervert characters, the power levels, power friendship bullshit that happens, that kind of stuff, your
absolutely.
Dragon Balls, your Naruto's, does it ring a bell?
Yes, those ring a bell, yes.
Okay, Kill la Kill is really more of a seinen, eki-based anime, and the host family Ryuko lives with also kind of follows that trope as well. You got the heavier set husband, and you got the attractive wife. But even by Japan standards, their living arrangement is realistic. And you can definitely tell the love they have for each other is, again, realistic.
Yeah, you can tell, especially since it's like Japan seems to be more realistic than supposed to its American counterparts.
Oh, I mean, when it comes to when it comes to certain aspects. But that's really debatable on, does Japan do anything realistic well? I mean, it's entertaining, but realistic is debatable at best. But then again, I would say it's a situational thing. But relating to this, yes, it's a little more realistic.
Like, now, Now with Family Guy and their spoofs, which is the point of this episode, like, do you think, like, with their Star Wars thing, do you think it was over the top? Was it just right? Like, how would you think that they did?
First one was good. Second one was okay. Third one, not the best episode. Like, if they just did it three consecutive episodes back-to-back, then you know what? It probably would have been...
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Like, especially,
oh, no, funny
like...
Enough. They did say, hey, what about the prequels? Oh, the Cleveland Jones is going to take care of that. So I guess that's something we're never going to see.
It kind of reminds me when, like, when Quagmire asked Cleveland, like, how come I can't get my own show? And then Peter just...
Yeah, because
said,
he's
why?
A rapist.
Rapist. Yep. I mean, he's not wrong, but he does get the most screen time, though, which we talked off air. Quagmire gets a lot more
so,
screen
if anything,
time.
He's more like a secondary character as opposed to Cleveland or Joe, for the matter.
I mean, have you noticed that when Quagmire has episodes around him, it's a little bit more interesting than, say, than Cleveland or Joe?
I feel like Joe's been a push-around character lately, no pun intended, to his physical condition. But, and as for Cleveland, he was just an entertaining guy, but now he just feels like the token black character.
I mean, Tyler House are going to fill their quota. Every once in a while.
Trisha Takanawa or the current bartender?
No, I mean, it's true.
But on top of that, if we're going to go even further to this whole, I do agree with you. I think the role reversal does need to be switched. Or hell, make it a gay couple, well, which is something Modern Family kind of has done. Got the heavier set dad and the more attractive dad.
Oh yeah, like they weren't they one of the first ones to have a first homosexual couple on a sitcom TV? Or was that done before?
Or at least first confirmed homosexual.
Yeah, like
you see
I feel
a lot of
like
couples out there like others. Are they gay? Are they not gay? Are they just friends? Hashtag Bert and Ernie.
Bert and Ernie. That's a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, which I don't
but,
know. Which apparently, turns out they said they were. I think that thing's a whole bit real wishy-washy. One person said they're not gay. They're based on The Odd Couple, if you remember that show. But turns out, we're changing it to they are gay because fuck it.
You know what it is? You're kind of like bending into the culture of like, well, we got to be inclusive, so we got to include everybody. Because if you don't include everyone, then you're going to offend everybody. Because the unfortunate part is you're not going to please everybody. Someone's going to get somehow, some way, when it comes to TV and whatnot, someone is going to feel a type of way.
No, it's all about target audience. And as we wrap up our show, Quagmire's voice was inspired by Steve Maramell's Jerry Lewis impression. Quagmire's fast-talking radio jockey voice was inspired by Steve Maramell's Jerry Lewis impression. All right. So, Mr. C, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
And thank you so much for having me on.
No problem. One more time, who are you? What do you do? Where can people find you?
Mr. C, you can find me on all over social media and... Yeah, just want me on your show. I'm always a phone call away.
Terrific, terrific. If you like this episode, stay tuned for more wonderful content. And if you're interested in being a part of the show, feel free to reach out to your friendly neighborhood Tyler Man, as I am on Facebook, Instagram, or shoot me an email at tylerbrook111@gmail.com. If you want to hear my antics on YouTube, follow me on there as well as you can hear Mr. C's theme song for that. And if you're feeling a little extra charity, I know we're in the middle of inflation. Okay. I'm trying to get by too, but a brother could always use some of that extra cash. But no matter what you do, remember, stay geeky.
Yes, sir.